All right, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're in the section verses 12 through 21. In verses 12 through 15, we'll finish that up today and move into the next section. The principles of reminder. The principles of reminder. Verse 1, he says, on account of which I will not neglect to always remind you concerning these things, even though you have known and have been established in the present truth. And I count it right, as long as I'm in this tent or tabernacle, to stir you up in remembrance, having known that soon is the putting off of my tent or tabernacle, according as also our Lord Jesus Christ declared unto me. And I will be diligent always to cause that you should have, after my exodus, he uses the word exodus for leaving, that after my exodus, that you might have a reminder of these things. For not having followed wisely devised myths or stories, we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but after having become eyewitnesses of his majesty. For after having received from God the Father honor and glory, when such a voice had been brought to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved One, toward whom I have been well pleased." And this voice also we ourselves heard from out of heaven, while being with him in the holy mountain. And we have the more established prophetic word, which you will do well by paying attention as a light shining in an obscure place, until which day should dawn and the morning star should rise in your hearts, while knowing this first, that every prophecy of Scripture did not happen of private origin. For by the will of man, prophecy was not at any time brought, but holy men of God spoke while being carried along by the Holy Spirit. Our focus is back on verse 12. He says, on account of which, and that's a reference back to the three principles of Christianity that he gave us back in verses 1 through 11. That is Peter's swan song. He's now approximately 70 years old. He's been walking with the Lord for maybe 35 to 40 years. He was one of the original. He was with Jesus when Jesus was here on the earth. And so he's emphasizing two things about himself in his presentation. Number one, a summary statement. Verses 1 through 11 is his summarizing of all of the Christian faith and what the Christian faith is all about. 40 years of experience, he boils it down to three things. That a person who belongs to Christ is a person who is partaking of the divine nature. Partaking of the divine nature. They've been born of the Spirit of God, and they have his divine nature living within. Secondly, they are participating in the growth processes. And thirdly, they will participate in the entrance into heaven. It'll either be a rich entrance into heaven, or a poor one, or medium income, somewhere in those lines. But he emphasizes to us that we will enter into heaven based on our growth and what the Lord has done within us. And we saw that from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says that after the foundation has been laid in Christ, take heed, pay attention to how you're building. Look at the materials that you are using in order for development and construction in your relationship with Christ, because we will pass through the fire. Not hellfire, but the Bema Seat judgment fire. And we will suffer loss, but we still will be saved through the fire. And so he's emphasizing the fact that, and we'll see it even more emphasized as we move into chapter 3 of 2 Peter, is he is going to overly emphasize the end result of what this earthly life is coming to. This earthly life is coming to destruction. It's going to be burned. It's going to be all burned up. And he's going to say to the believers, so what kind of people ought you to be? Where should your priorities be? What should you emphasize? If things here you can't take with you, and the only thing you can take with you is the development and work of Christ in your life, then what should be the priority? Everything else you're going to leave behind. The things that were not of Christ will burn. So he says, on account of this, and now he's going to present to us three things of the principles of remembrance. We saw last week in verse 12 the caution that he expressed about remembrance. He is not going to be negligent to always remind you concerning these things. What things? The three things we talked about in verses 1 to 11. But look at the circumstances under which he's talking about this first principle. Even though you have known and have been established in the present truth. So he's not talking to people who need to start learning. They have already known and already have been established. It's a perfect tense. It expresses a settled condition. It's already there. Maturity. Peter, I know what you're talking about. Yes, I know. That's the focus I have in my life. That's my understanding of the Christian faith, and that is God's ministry to me. So what Peter is showing here in the first principle is that it doesn't make any difference if you already know and you already have been established, that there's a need for reminders. We need to hear it over and over again. I told you about the time in L.A. I think I've taught John probably 10 or 11 times the Gospel of John, and you always get something different. And the Lord always takes some of the same truths and re-emphasizes them to us as we hear them. But somebody told me, well, I've already studied that. Let me know when you study a book that I haven't studied yet. Well, it's not a matter of study. I've been through it 10, 11 times, and I still get blessed. If I had an excuse for teaching some of these books all over again, I'd do it just because I enjoy continually going through them. And so he says that there is a need to continually be reminded of the things that you already know and of the things that you have already been established in. Why? Because we have a tendency to forget. Plus the fact the Lord is ministering to our minds, His Spirit is ministering to our minds the things that we're studying right now. When you study them, when you hear them, when you think about them, He has a chance to minister them to us. A year from now, this stuff will be history. And unless the Lord brings it up out of the clear blue, or we're rereading this portion of Scripture on our own, we probably won't even think about it. Not unless the Lord brings it up again. We have a need. And as they say in education, repetition is the father of learning. You need to hear it over and over and over again. Not just in the mind, but so that God can take that truth and re-minister and reapply it to our hearts. Maybe it's a wake-up call. I've had many over the years express, the first time through my head I understood it, and the second time through the Lord's applying it. You know, the Lord has different reasons. And since they say that an hour after you hear a sermon, the average person forgets 90% of what they've heard, obviously we have a need of reminder. The only 10% people remember is the word tithing. So he says, I will not neglect to always remind you. Not just once in a while, but he says, these three principles I'm going to constantly remind you, even though you have known them and you've been established in the present truth. But secondly, in verse 13, the compelling of reminders. He says, and I count it right as long as I'm in this tent or tabernacle. So Peter is calling his physical body a tent to stir you up in remembrance. And so, yes, we can know facts and things about the Bible. We can know a certain truth or a certain principle. But he says, I want to continually remind you to stir you up. And when we get to chapter 3, that's what he's going to be doing. He's going to say, now, you already know what I've been telling you, right? You've already been established in it, right? That's right. What are you doing? You know, you're busy. The priorities are out in the world that's going to burn. Now you tell me what's important. And so he uses reminder in order to compel people. It's interesting that Peter himself was there in Matthew chapter 26. Remember when Jesus went to pray and he took Peter, John, and James, and they went and he says, watch with me while I pray. Gregoreo is that word for watch. And it literally means stay awake. It doesn't mean sit there and stare at me, you know, watch me, but stay awake. And he comes back to them and they're sleeping. He's, wake up. Can't you even watch with me for 1 hour? He comes back in verse 41 of Matthew 26. It records for us the same words. He says, watch and pray. It's a command. He says, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, be alert to the fact that the flesh is very, very weak. And your spirit is willing, but if you are functioning according to the flesh, it's very weak. That's not an excuse, but that's the reason that we have to be alert, is that we can lapse into a spiritual slumber because we're going by the things of the flesh and we're not alert to the fact that we've been taken off course and that the priorities are all wrong. The 14 also is compelling. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, that he too called this physical body a tent, a tabernacle. And Peter says in verse 14, he says, having known this, in other words, I'm going to keep reminding you and keep reminding you, having known that soon is the putting off of my tent. Notice the term soon. And he doesn't call it death. His first term is putting off. That's the Greek term for like taking off a coat. He doesn't call it death. He calls it just taking off your coat. Moving on. And he calls it his tent. And he says, soon is my putting off of my tent, according as also the Lord Jesus Christ declared to me. In John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, Jesus told Peter how he would die. And we shared with you that one of the writings of Eusebius, the church historian, in his Ecclesiastical History, that's the title of the book, chapter 3, paragraphs 1 and 30, tells us that Peter died, as the Lord said, in Nero's garden. In John chapter 21, Jesus indicated that it would be by crucifixion. But when it came time to crucify him, as a joke, in Nero's garden, Peter requested to be crucified upside down because he was not worthy to die like his Lord. So he says, I don't have much time. Can you imagine an original apostle now in his 70s, walked with the Lord for about 40 years, one of the originals being with the Lord, and if you were to sit down with him and say, just summarize, just give me a couple of verses. Give me verses 1 through 11. No, just a couple of verses of a summary statement of what the Christian life is all about. What Peter is saying is, I don't have much time left, so this is what I'm going to keep reminding you about. This is it. I've put it into a summary form. Then the third principle is in verse 15. That one of the principles of reminder is that it must be continuous. Not just every once in a while. He says, and I will be diligent. The word diligent is the word for priority. He says, my top priority will always be to cause you to have, that you should have after my exodus, the reminder of those things. So he's now writing this letter, and personally he is going to be there to minister to them. But he says, once I'm gone, that's what this letter is for. I won't physically be around anymore, but I want something left behind so that you can continue to hear the reminder of the same things over and over again. Notice, first he called his death, the putting off of his tent, and here he calls it the Exodus. That's literally the word, Exodus. He doesn't call his death, death. Because death to the Christian sounds too permanent. But he calls it Exodus because the word itself means to leave one place and go to another. Exodus, to go from one place to another. And so what he's saying is, I'm leaving here, but I'm going somewhere else. I'm just taking off my tent. My body is a tent, like a person would take off their coat. So you can understand the importance they placed on the flesh in the early church. It's interesting. It's just a tent. Get a little rip, put a patch on it, you know. When you die, you're just making camp. Just leaving the tent. That's all you're doing. A reminder of these things. But he says there is still a need to hear and experience the Word of God. Not just in random, but a continuous repetition. This follows right into the principles of understanding spiritual growth. If you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews emphasizes repetition. Peter is emphasizing repetition of the same things. But we must be reminded, and we must learn the principles of spiritual growth. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. The book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, to Jewish people, to make a comparison between the ministry and priesthood of Jesus Christ and the ministry and priesthood of Judaism. Jesus Christ, his priesthood did not come from Aaron. The Aaronic line are the priests. But his priesthood came from Melchizedek, which is interesting that he's a Gentile. Melchizedek is a Gentile. He's a very unusual character that you find in the Old Testament. Abraham paid tithes to him when he came back from a battle. Melchizedek, nobody knows where he came from. We know that he was a king. We know that he was a priest over Salem. And so Hebrews chapter 6 and 7 brings in the comparison between Melchizedek and Jesus Christ. But he's talking about Melchizedek, and then right in the middle of explaining about Melchizedek, he remembers that the people that he is talking to are dull of hearing. He says, verse 11, concerning whom, that's Melchizedek, there's much to say and it's hard to understand, since you have become dull of hearing. Notice how I emphasized you have become dull. They weren't still dull, they became dull. What that means is, at one time they were not dull of hearing, and now they are. Keep that in mind. At one time they reached a point where they were able to hear and understand the things of the Lord, but now they have become dull of hearing. That is, they hear biblical and spiritual things, and they're like, I don't understand this at all. I don't get it. Being in debt, you ought to be teachers on account of the time. In other words, by now you should be sharing with others the spiritual things of Christ, but instead, we have to teach you all over again. Look what he says. Again, you have need for one to teach you what are the elements of the beginnings of the oracles or words of God. See, he says again. Here's the emphasis placed on repetition again. You used to know, but now you're dull of hearing. You used to know. In fact, now if you had kept going and growing in the things of the Lord, you should be teaching other people what about the things of Christ. And he says the elements, the ABCs is what he's talking about. It doesn't mean the deep things of Christ. He just says you ought to be able to teach other people the ABCs of really the things of Christ. But he says you're not able to. And you have become having a need. That's the literal translation. And again, he's expressing you have become again now. Having a need. You had a need before. You grew in the things of the Lord. And now you have a need all over again. What is the need? You have a need of milk. And not solid food. For everyone who is partaking of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness. Inexperienced in the word of righteousness. Interesting, the word that we translated inexperienced, those of you in the Greek class, it has the alpha privative, but the main word is the word trial or temptation. That's what it means, to experience. It has a negative connotation because a trial or hardship has a negative effect on us, humanly, but it just means experience. So we can use that term and not emphasize the negativeness about it. How's your day today? I'm experiencing it, you know. Yeah, I'm having lots of experiences today because that's what the word means. But we translate it trial because it has hardship attached to it in most instances. So here you have the alpha privative with the word experience. You are without experience in the word of righteousness. So you now have need of milk. See, before they took the ABCs and were fed the milk and then started getting into the meat and then they dropped out. He says, in essence, you got to start all over again. Not that you don't know in your brain, but there's something else coming up here that we have to take notice of. He says, for you are babes, and solid food is for mature. That is those who through continual habitual practice have their senses exercised to discern for both what is right and wrong in the sight of the Lord. Interesting, the word exercise is where we get our word gymnasium from. And he's using athletic terms all the way through here to express Christian growth. What is Christian growth? God has made us as human beings a certain way so that he could minister spiritual truth to us and we could understand it. We know what it's like to one day decide you're going to exercise. And whatever that exercising might be walking, whatever. Maybe you want to work your way up, start walking and work your way up to running a mile. And after the mile, you can call for somebody to come and get you. But you go a mile, you know. Your goal is the mile, right? So you work your way up to it. You walk maybe a week or so. You make it longer. Then you start jogging. Pretty soon, you are in about 6 years, 7 years, you're running the mile, okay? And we all know what that's like. You get in the habit, and it just, you know, it's just routine. It's enjoyable because you're now in shape. All the muscles know you're going to go a mile, and they've worked their way up to it. But then all of a sudden, something happens one day, and you don't run. and you get out of the habit of it, so you don't run several days in a row. Then about a month later, you want to get back into exercising again. But you don't start out running the mile the first day after being off for a month. Why? Because the muscles have relaxed. The muscles are not in shape to go for a mile instantly, even though you worked your way up to it before. What the Lord is revealing to us through His Word is that spiritual growth is like that. Is that when we come to hear the Word, when we study the Word, our faculties, our senses, spiritual senses within are being exercised to know what's right and what's wrong in the things of the Lord. And it's a continual exercise. That's what verse 14 emphasizes, is that there's a habit, there's a continual exercising, gumnadzo, of the inner human senses and faculties to be able to discern, not just know in the brain, but it's a discernment of what's right and what's not right according to the thing, according to the Lord. But it's just like physical exercise. There's spiritual exercise. And it's not a matter of just showing up for church or Bible study or whatever out of duty. Because hopefully, I'm assuming, some people assume too much, but I'm assuming that when we get into the Word together, that God's Spirit is exercising people's minds and hearts, and their inner faculties are becoming sensitive to spiritual things and biblical things. Remember, we're partakers with the divine nature. He's spiritual, we're human. And if we leave off from being exercised by His Spirit, we lose contact with Him. Not that He's left, but the communication lines aren't there, or the sensitivity isn't there. The awareness of God's Spirit working in us and through us is not there. The sensitivity is gone. So I feel bad about people who say, yeah, well, you know, I go to church and show up for Bible study, or I study the Word every once in a while. Well, if you're not constantly being exercised by God's Spirit, if you're not experiencing His Word in you, then you will become dull of hearing. And Peter is holding this principle. So it's, I'm showing you that there's more than one place. Remember in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, about the rich entrance into heaven. Go back to Paul. He describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he describes it in detail. More than one person in the Scripture talks about it. Same thing. Peter's just saying, yeah, you know, Paul's right, or the writer of Hebrews is right. You have to be exercised. As long as I am in this physical tent, I'm going to keep reminding you, and when I'm physically gone, I'm going to leave my letter behind so that you can continuously be reminded. Because we can know it with our brain. We can know it with our mind. That's probably my pet peeve with Bible school and that kind of educational preparedness, which is necessary. But when you leave with your head filled full of knowledge and education, but have not been spiritually exercised to be sensitive to what's right and wrong and the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then it's just head knowledge. The same thing with me or with you. When we hear something from the Word, we say, yeah, I already know that. That's like exercising yourself and getting up to running a mile every day. Say, well, I've been running a mile for 30 days, so I'm going to get up and run a mile again today. And your muscle says, we've already done that. Do something else. No, you got to keep at it. You know, got to keep going. It's a matter of staying in shape. It's a matter of a stirring up. so that it just doesn't lapse back into my mind like a piece of information that's filed somewhere in my brain, but something that's active, something that continues to remind me. And this is the writer of Hebrews telling them, there was a time when I was able to share these things with you, but it's over your head now. Not because you haven't known the Lord, or not because you don't know these things. It's because you haven't been exercised by them. Your sensitivity, your discernment is not there. It has to be sharpened. It has to be exercised. So God not only ministers His Word to us in order to change and transform us, but He also ministers His Word to us as an exercise. Because when we study the things of Christ, we're becoming aware. It's causing our senses as people to sense the things of Christ. We're busy all week long, and the world exercises us, and we're very familiar with the world. But we have even a greater need to be exercised by Christ. So we understand that principle. There's a tremendous understanding amongst these brethren in the early church that we need to pay attention to, especially when somebody like Peter says, I'm about ready to exit us out of here. So I'm going to leave this behind for you. That even though you know it, you need to continue to study it and hear it. He can probably even hear some people saying already, well, as soon as Peter's gone, we don't have to listen to that anymore. You know? Hey, we got it in writing. If we ever want to review, we just look it up in the catalog or something, you know, at the church. But he's leaving his letter behind so that God's Spirit will continue to remind people. It's almost like a, hey, what are you doing? Remember? Because we can know it in our mind, but not remember its purpose and priority. So he shares with us these three principles. Caution. Just because you know it and have been established in it doesn't mean that you don't need to be reminded. Secondly, it's compelling. The more we study it, every time we study it, God's Spirit makes it alive. It's a living thought. It's something we think, and it's something that we process with the mind. If we don't hear it, it just stays stored as Bible information. So every time we talk about it, God stirs us up. And then it must be continuous. Can't just be done once or twice or three times. Hopefully, and it's my prayer always, that the information that we share with you is that you take and continually just go over it, even if it's just reading and allowing God's Spirit to bring back to your memory the things that Peter has talked about or the things that Paul has talked about. That's the Hebrew word meditation, by the way. Hebrew word meditation comes from the cow that would chew and swallow and then regurgitate it back up again and chew it some more. Meditation is continually remembering things, continually going over things, because God's Spirit reveals to us that that's part of our fallen nature, is we forget things. I never forget things, but, you know, it's... Hi, Bob. You know, the mind just isn't... And as you get older, it's just not what it used to be. And in some cases, people, as they get older and older and older, they become like kids. The mind begins to lose its memory and lose its function. So it can't just be all in the brain. Something that we have to look at from a standpoint of God is exercising my senses and my faculties to be able to receive, understand, search out, follow after. See, because when we get together, we have to make a change. We've been in the world all week. We've got to make a change. Now we have to sit and concentrate and receive and understand spiritual things. It's like, whoa. Haven't been in this for a while. You know, we make the transition. I've actually had people in this church come to me after the second hour and say, okay, now I'm ready. The first 2 hours got me back in to paying attention, you know. And every Sunday when I go to leave, now I'm ready to hear the word. It's just, and it gets frustrating when it takes 2 hours just to get somebody back in line because all week long we haven't been in the word. All right, let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that constantly reminds us that we need to be reminded. It's not a matter of showing up to meetings or fulfilling attendance records, but rather we are participating with the divine nature, that there are growth processes taking place. There are changes that are taking place in us. And we pray that by your Spirit, you'd continually remind us of these things, that in our minds we might say, I already know that, but in our spirit we need to hear it over and over again. We need to be exercised so that we just don't know it in the mind, but our life is sensitive to its priorities and its meaning. We pray by your Spirit you'd help us with these things. In Jesus' name, amen.